Morning, everybody. You know, sometimes you just have the wrong answer. This morning, Steve said to me, "By the way, you're going to preach today." And I had the wrong answer. My answer was something along the lines of, "Oh, great." Yes, as Steve said, not with the proper emphasis. It, you know, the word tells us to be instant, in season and out of season. We need to be ready. When the opportunity is there, we need to be ready. That means we start in the morning, first thing. That's when we start. So that whatever brings along the day, whatever the day brings along itself, whatever the Lord brings along, we're ready, right? So then I prayed, because I mean, I don't have anything of worth to give to you, but I asked the Lord to search your hearts, and you know that that He would bring those He would have, and that He would give me something for the people He brings. And maybe before that, I started to repent, and I said something along the lines of, "I'm sorry for," and then I wondered what was the right next thing to say, because "I'm sorry for my sin." Well, the Lord knows we're a sinner. He knows that. "I'm sorry for this one and that one." And then I was reminded of David praying, "Forgive me of my secret sins," I think it says. The ones we don't even know that we operate in, that we give place to. And I was also reminded of Davy speaking a little while back, saying, "You can't disappoint God, but you can please Him. He knows our hearts. He knows that they are desperately wicked. But we can come to Him anyway, not because of ourselves, but because of His Son." And again, I was reminded, lots of reminding this morning, of Isaiah 14. Excuse me. Starting at verse 12 and reading probably through 14. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God, the Most High.'" When we try and bring our works to the Lord, and when we try and say, "Look what I did," and when we try and say, "I only did this little sin, I didn't do that big, enormous one." When we try and bring our offerings like Cain, we're saying, basically, that I will be like the Most High. I want to be like God. When we don't come to Him to serve Him. Made a lot of sense to me this morning. That's probably like a, you know, a secret sin, if you will, that we don't realize. Something, I don't mean secret like something you don't share. I mean something that we don't realize. When you don't recognize that the Lord is just, when His ways are just, He is righteous, He is love. And aside from Him, there's nothing good. When we try and somehow work it out ourselves, we're saying, "What you did, I can do better." Basically. but we can't. It is a wonderful thing to be able to worship and serve the Lord God. We sang a song, "Come Now is the Time to Worship." And I'd always seen that as now is the time to worship. Come now just as you are, no matter where you've come from or what have you. And Robin one time was talking about it, and she pointed out that every time we come to the Lord, we come just as we are, because there's no other way to come. Just as we are in the blood, if we will choose to be so. We have to choose. If you don't choose, you really have chosen. And we watched a movie last night, the sequel to Faith Like Potatoes. It's called Ordinary People. And it follows the story of three men before they went to one of the meetings that Angus Buck and who the Faith Like Potatoes is about. It follows their lives and how they come to be at one of the meetings back 4 years ago. And there was a point, there was a young fellow who was a black fellow, you know, like so many. No parents, no stability in his life, nothing good, who was a thief. And he was given the opportunity of changing and of receiving the Lord and of going with them. And the man who gave him the opportunity said, "Now you have to choose." And I don't think he had necessarily thought that his life was his choice. What he did in his life was his choice. He chose wrong. But then he chose right. We don't always choose right. But we have to come just as we are, having chosen wrong, again, to the Lord. And ask him, please, to forgive us and then carry on, you know. And sing to him, just as you are. We sang a few songs this morning. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Go forth into the ripened fields. Blow the trumpet. Stand. Go forward. He is here." We sang that three times. Frankly, I could have sung that probably for an hour. Because it's something we forget. He is here. He is here in this room with us. The Lord God Almighty is here. Every single one of us has asked him into our lives. Everyone in this room. So he is here. How does that change where you place your thoughts? How does that change what you choose to do? How does that change where you are? He is here. Think about that for just a minute. The one who spoke and all that we can see was, came into being, just poof, God, there it was, perfect. He is here, and he's with us. If we choose to be with him, because, you know, we gave our lives to the Lord one day. What about today? Where are you today? There was a beginning of a walk. It was not the end. It was just the start. He is here, and he's walking among us. He is here as we gather in His name. He is here and He wants to work a wonder in your life, and your life, and your life, and your life, and each of our lives, and the lives of those who we come across who don't know Him. He is with us, and we need to share Him with others. He wants to work a wonder. There's something speechless. I mean, I don't know what the right word to describe it is, about seeing the life of a person changed by the love of Jesus Christ. It's such a cool thing. And seeing the Lord work in someone's life, it's such a cool thing. I've seen it. And I've seen how many people, having gone through that where I've seen it, and they're not around anymore. Which is a sad thing. He is here. How does that change you now?
Praise God. I was going to go to He is here. So I'll finish with that as you take a seat. The point I wanted to make on He is here is it says, and He wants to work a wonder. Now, I want you to understand, that means He wants to work a wonder here amongst us. All right? But I also want you to recognize it from the perspective of every day that's the case. Yeah, it says that He will never depart from us. It says His mercies are new every morning. All right, so there's nothing that can separate you from God and the wonder that you need in your life but your own choice to not believe Him. You know what I'm saying? Nothing but your own choice not to believe Him. And I say it to you from that perspective, because I don't know about you guys, but it seems to me like I need a wonder every day. Every day I need a wonder. I mean, I wake up and sometimes I'm kind of miserable and I just need a wonder to not be miserable anymore. I don't know about you guys. Anybody ever wake up and you're just freaking miserable and you're tired and maybe you're hurt and you got some different things, and the last thing you want to do is go greet the day, say hallelujah, nice to see you, how are you doing, how may I love you, right? Anybody ever, you know, just struggle to get out of the blocks with the right kind of attitude that way? I see some, you know, some people have beards, they kind of hide some of these things a little bit. Some people are clean shaven or don't have to shave at all, and the like. But, I mean, it takes a wonder to get past that. But it is a wonder that God wants to perform in your life every day. All right? Some people have intractable problems. Intractable means the problem doesn't seem to go away. No matter what I try, I find myself still stuck in the same stinking place I've been stuck in for so daggone long, there's no hope for me to get out of that place. Anybody ever have issues like that? People sometimes have issues like that? Wow. Okay. He wants to work a wonder. Okay? In other words, that intractable problem that seems like it is immovable and there is no chance that you can ever defeat and overcome, you can defeat and overcome. You can defeat and overcome it. You don't have to be subject unto it. You don't have to be. But you have to choose to believe Him. You have to choose to take that which He has given you and exercise yourself in faith. So that intractable problem, remember it says we cast down every high thing that exalts itself against you? It's a song we sing too, right? But it also comes right out of the scripture. It says that. So that is a high thing. That intractable problem is a high thing that seeks to exalt itself against God. Seeks to say, I am bigger than that sucker. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care what you do. You cannot get past this. You can believe that if you want. You can believe that if you want. Or you can believe the Lord. And if you believe the Lord, you take authority over that problem. You take authority over that problem in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but me, when I'm in a situation like that, man, I get angry. I get pissed. If you were to be around me when I'm in that situation, I'm walking around. I don't care about anybody else in the world, anywhere where they are. I'm grabbing hold of stronghold. I'm casting them down. I'm trotting them underfoot. And I am refusing to accept anything other than total victory in Christ Jesus. Refusing to accept anything but that. Because I don't want to be subject to that crap. He wants to work a wonder. He doesn't want you to be stuck in these same old things forever. He wants you to emerge victorious in Him. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. If you believe that, you will walk it out. Now, it's funny, Beegan was talking about ordinary people. I actually didn't like ordinary people nearly as much as faith like potatoes, but it's all right. I mean, it's not bad or something like that. But the when we were going to go watch it, there was a point that the Lord had me focus on, and it's so common. And you read it in the scripture, and you saw it in Faith Like Potatoes. If you remember, in Faith Like Potatoes, some of you don't know the story, but this is a story of a farmer over in South Africa who's, I believe he's an evangelist. Okay, but that's between him and God. Okay, they were talking about how El Nino, and over here people don't think about El Nino a lot. When I lived in Peru, El Nino was something. When it was coming, people were terrified. You have no idea. I mean, when people here in Peru on the coast that El Nino's coming, you have people wailing and crying and falling on the ground. Okay, it's a weather pattern that comes in periodically because of a change of the currents. At least that's what the scientists tell us, suffice it to say. And what happened is it changes. For example, in South Africa, it meant that there would not be much rain. All right, and so what he did is he heard about this and stuff like that, and he books a rugby stadium. Basically, it'd be like booking, you know, where we hold the Super Bowl or something like that in this country. And he books this big stadium over there, and 25,000 people came out. And he preached, and he said, he took his Bible, he said, this is my guide for planting. It says over there in Proverbs, I believe if you go through, and it says, the fool or the sluggard, I forget which one, it talks about how they will not go out and plant in a certain time because it's raining or it's this or it's that. They have an excuse. Okay, and then they won't go out and harvest because, again, you know, there's something else that's an excuse. And so he goes, and there he's sitting around. He goes and he says, I'm going to plant potatoes, which takes water. And in South Africa, water is already a problem. It's not like here on the east coast of America. It's more like the west where it's arid and dry. So he decides he's going to plant potatoes in faith, and the Lord gave him a bumper crop, praise God. Okay? The Lord was with him in it. But the part that was so amazing to me is nobody else planted. See, there were 25,000 people out there. Those who were closest to him did not plant. They did not plant. What they did is they came down to see what happened with his field. All right? They didn't plant. See, and the real key here is it doesn't matter if he plants potatoes and it succeeds or whatever. Okay? I mean, it does, don't get me wrong, or it doesn't matter if I believe God for something or Davey believes God for something and you see something happen through us. What matters is what you do. See, the fact that we can bear witness and say, oh, isn't that cool? Oh, look at that. I saw that. That was awesome. Oh, I know God can do these things. Whoop-de-doo. If you don't step out and do it yourself, It ends up being of only things that testify against you if you don't go out and do it yourself. You'd be like the ones who died in the desert with Moses, who they saw all the miracles of God, even partook of them, got to eat the manna every day, got to drink of the water that came from the rock. They got to see the battles that when Moses' hands were held up, when you had, I think it was Hur and Aaron on one side and holding up his arms, and when they held up his arms, Israel prevailed in the battle. All right? They may have partaken of all of these things. They may have seen the earth open up and swallow up Kori and his folks in the rebellion, but they never believed for themselves. They did stuff. They did stuff. They got circumcised, for example. Their children didn't, but they did. All right? They did certain things, but they never believed God. See, nobody else can believe God for you. I can't believe God for you. And I tell you what, I've seen the Lord do some cool stuff, and both in other people's lives and in my own life. But the fact of the matter is, I still have to fight to believe God. It's not natural. It's not natural. I don't wake up every morning and just this, wow, praise God. I mean, when my children come and wake me up on Saturday morning, I am usually not pleased at the fact that they are waking me up on Saturday morning. I have to confess. I'm usually not pleased. And then they usually do a few things immediately after that which make me less pleased. Like I tell them to go back to bed, and then what happens is they go back in the other room and stuff, and you hear them talking back and forth. It's only 15 more minutes. They start talking all these things, and now I'm angry because not only am I going to be getting up, but they're going to be waking their mom up, and I'm just angry now. All right? I'm not thinking, oh, praise you, God. Thank you for my children. Thank you for this day, Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm not thinking that kind of stuff. And I'm trying not to get angry because when I get angry, I'm even more awake. You ever been in that situation where you're trying not to get angry because if you get angry, then you're really awake. The surge of adrenaline that comes from being angry means you get up and now you're not asleep anymore. And there's no chance you're going back to sleep. Right? Look, it is a decision. It is a fight. And it is a fight that you fight every single day. I mean, I tell you, some people here haven't had a lot of experience with the Lord, being a part of something really cool the Lord's doing. And I can tell you, when you are a part of something really cool that the Lord is doing, it's very easy to then think, hey man, I'm like, you scumbag. You guys are scumbags, man. But you guys aren't faithful. You guys aren't this, but me. Right? And the Lord always reminds me of some of these things like Eli, who died according to the prophecy that went out on him. And yet he said to Hannah, go in peace, and the Lord grant thy request. And Hannah believed, and the Lord honored the request because of her faith. Right? The Lord has shown me, I remember when Joseph was raised from the dead. I mean, I'm not going to stand here before you and say, boy, man, I was just, like, just awesome in the faith, man. It was like, you wouldn't believe it, man. It was just amazing. What I would say is this. I was preaching the night before, talking about how, if you want to see God do an extraordinary thing, you got to be in an extraordinary circumstance. I had no idea I was going to find myself in an extraordinary circumstance the next morning. Had no idea. Zero. All right? And when I was in that extraordinary circumstance, and I prayed, I mean, praise God, I prayed and the Lord raised him from the dead, but I was not, I don't know. Yeah, you know when Jesus goes to Lazarus and he waits till he's dead and in the grave for 4 days? And he goes up and he says, Father, I know that you hear me always, but I say this so that they can know that you do. That was not me, okay? Okay, that was Jesus. This was Steve here sees his son in a bad, desperate place and lying limp in his mom's arms and nothing happening. And thankfully, the Lord brought back to remembrance something that happened with your sister, as you know, Carrie, when she was, all of her organs were shutting down and she was in the hospital after having a bike accident and injured her head and been, I think, airlifted up to Burlington, wasn't she? She'd been taken from CVH there. She was in a coma, and they came in and told Richard and Ann that she was going to die and stuff like that, and she wasn't going to make it through the night. And Richard apologized to Ann and said, I had no idea that it had been this serious. I mean, when we were children, we had bike accidents. I don't remember anybody dying. I remember being cut open and screaming and every other thing, but dying, I mean, people didn't die from those things, except for one buddy of mine, I remember, but leaving that aside, it never entered you, just doesn't enter your mind. And he went in and he rebuked that spirit of death, and he prayed the Lord would heal Kim, and she came up out of bed immediately and left the next day perfectly fine. And I remembered that. And so, I don't know if you'd call it faith or you just call it obedience or hope or whatever you want to call it, I said, I rebuke that spirit of death. I command you to take your hands off of him, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I said, Joseph, this is your father. Come back to me. And praise God, Joseph came back to me. And I didn't run around, do a little dance and stuff like that. I wept the whole way to the hospital as they then, somebody called 911, and they showed up after, and his blood was 100% oxygen and everything. He was fine. And, you know, I mean, it was a very trying, difficult, troubling experience. And God in his grace kept my son. You know what I'm saying? He kept my son. And, you know, what you'll find if you will step out, folks, is you will find that you will be in situations that require you to then exercise yourself in the faith that you profess. And many times when you find yourself in these situations where you're being asked to exercise yourself in the faith you say you profess, you don't feel very faithful. I remember Robin one time coming to me for a woman who she worked with, whose mother was in the hospital in a bad situation. I forget what it was. She was near death. I forget what the scenario was.
I don't know if it was
Stroke, heart attack, something. She was like in intensive care at the hospital. And Robin came to me and asked me to join with her in prayer. Now, I have to admit, I think it was at the end of a day or something like that. And usually at the end of the day, I mean, I begin focusing on the Lord at the beginning of the day. By the end of the day, man, I'm sometimes not so focused. And she asked me, and I'm thinking, what's she asking me for, man? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is me, okay? I'm just talking at me, myself, and I. I wasn't thinking, with great boldness and confidence, God's going to heal this woman and all these other things. But my sister came and asked me to pray because I'm her head and the head of the ministry here in Vermont or whatever other motivation she may have had. And she asked, and I didn't know the woman, and we prayed. And I remember when somebody comes and asks me to pray in a situation like that where the person I'm praying for does not know me, I do not know if the person knows the Lord. I don't know any of these things, okay? And we talked about here before wanting the Lord to be the one who's glorified. You're reading out of Isaiah here. And I remember praying. We took hands and we prayed, and we just asked that the Lord would move mightily to heal and or deliver that woman, but in a manner that she would know that it was he who had done it. And so we prayed. A couple weeks later, I forget how long it was, Robin came to me. It wasn't very long afterwards.
Not even a couple weeks.
Yeah, less than a couple weeks. She came to me, and the co-worker of hers had come and told her that her mom was fine. She was out of the hospital and everything. And what she said is that the Lord came into her room and healed her. Can't get any better than that. Can't get any better than that. I guess she would know that it was him. You know what I'm saying? And I And I share it with you from this perspective because, look, just like when you learn any new thing, you're learning a new sport, you're learning a new subject, you're learning a new job. When you're learning a new thing, it often seems awkward, right, when you're learning it. And often you're wondering whether you're going to be able to do it or not. I mean, and you kind of struggle and you feel you don't want to look stupid or all of these other things, right? I mean, this is how we are. The same is true about walking in faith. The same is true about the walk of faith. And the Lord says, come. I'm right here. I will be a lamp unto your feet. I will guide the paths of your feet. I am with you. I will not forsake you. And all you have to do is step out in it. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Right? Pride is what causes you to get offended at your mistakes. Humility just recognizes that it's part of the way that you learn how to do it right. I remember, just as a small example, when I was a kid, I was about 14, and Russell Modlin, who you remember, Joe, and my children, because he came up and saw me last summer. Hadn't seen him in like 20 years. He and I were very good friends, and he'd moved to West Virginia, and I went over there, and they had a ping pong table. So we're playing, and they were merciless. I mean, we used to be merciless. He was a guy who, when I was learning how to play chess, I said, how do you play chess? He said, offensively or defensively? I didn't know which way to move the pieces. He's just obliterating me, you know what I mean, every which way. But what happened is he'd make me mad. So I'd follow what he did, and then I obliterated him and did not care. I had no mercy on him. It was funny. So the same was now we're playing ping pong, and we come over, and it's, you know, 7-0, you know, skunk, we called it. And you guys remember skunking? You know, where if you're playing to 15 or something, or maybe to 21, but if you score the first 7 points, you skunk the other person, not even worth carrying on. Okay? Skunk me, skunk me, skunk me, skunk me. Then it's 7-1, he didn't skunk me. By the end of that day, I was beating the pants off of them. Okay? And I share it with you because there's an attitude that we have to have in Christ. All right? Christ says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Okay? Your life may testify, I can do no things well. Okay? I can do no things well. So you have a mind that has been set for failure. That's what my life is. I fail. I fall short. I never am able to muster up and be chosen, if you will, or one who ever is used as an example, somebody who's mastered something or what have you. I always fall short. And you just, what you don't realize is that when you accept that, you're denying what Christ can do. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're actually denying what Christ can do. And the attitude you have to develop is you just have to develop that attitude. It says, seek and ye shall find. So you don't give up until you find it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. So you don't give up until you get it. You know what I'm saying? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You don't give up until the door is opened unto you. And you have to develop that attitude because that's what his word says. That's that faith like a mustard seed, that's a tenacious faith that does not give up. And so you're going to fail. I remember the first time I did a revival down in Winchester, New Hampshire. I didn't ever want to do a revival again. That was my response to it. Don't ever want to do that again. I just felt like a complete and total miserable failure. I don't know if I was or not, honestly. I mean, what do I know? I mean, I mean the Lord knows. Ricky said, hey, Steve, you want to come down? We'll do a revival together. I'm thinking, I don't ever want to do a revival again. That's the one that Joe was raised from the dead at, by the way. Okay? I don't want to do another revival. But I'm like, sure. What's the matter with me? you follow what I'm saying, guys? I mean, you just have to choose that, you know what? I mean, you put yourself out there. When you're doing a revival and there's a bunch of people looking, they might, everybody might be going, what the hell was he thinking doing a revival? Who does that guy think he is? You know what I'm saying? Right? I mean, it could very well be that's how people will look at it at the end. But you know what? I mean, when you step out, you learn from the experience, even if you're screwing up. And if you will learn from the experience, whether you went out in nothing but pure, unadulterated pride and fall flat on your face and nothing was accomplished in the sense that God was not glorified in everything, unless you say that he was glorified in your own humiliation, that he decided that. See, he just won't back that up. No, not like that. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, you get up and you go, all right, Lord, that was a disaster. How would you have me do it differently? You follow what I'm saying? How would you have me do it differently? What can I do different that'll be pleasing to you? And when you adopt that kind of attitude in your life and going forward in the Lord, I tell you what, there's nothing that can stop you. There is nothing that can stop you. But if you're going to let embarrassment stop you, if you're going to let these things stop you, then you're never going to amount to anything in the Lord. You're never going to amount to anything. It just is never going to happen. You might as well just forget about it. Because if you're going to walk in the Lord, you're going to see wonders. It means you're going to see things that are beyond you all the time. All the time. And that's going to... Because otherwise, how is he going to be glorified? If there's not a wonder happening, how's anybody supposed to see him? Because he's the one God of wonders, not you or me. If he sees things that we can do in our own power and might, then who's glorified? You or me. But when people see things that only he can do, and it is clear that it is not you, but it is rather the Lord who is doing it, now there he is glorified. And that's what we have to want to walk in. And you can't walk in that and be like Lucifer, who wanted to exalt himself above. See, the neat thing is God says even greater works than he did shall we do. But you know why we're not exalted above him? Is because we do them by the same spirit he did them. See, we don't do them ourselves. So the glory goes to him, which is what it's all supposed to be about. Amen. May the Lord bless you.